Hello, welcome to Ruthie, Uni, Dad and Me. Strange days, Ruth, strange days.
End of time days.
Very much so. We're sort of self-isolated together, you, me and your mother in a very combustible package.
Sort of, I don't know how...
How is it? If it's months...
So if you've read the Imperial College...
I didn't want to read it, but go and tell me.
It's 20 pages long, so it is a bit of a read, but it's very easy to understand. And if you read the summary, the opening summary and the, like, ending thoughts, you can
this
pretty much get the
gist of it. Imperial College London.
Imperial College London report, and they're it's what's informed the new harsher measures we've taken that Boris Johnson announced on Monday and the ones that Trump announced in the US. And so if you read it, they say that what might have to happen is... Because they took a lot of the data that was from China and put into different simulations. So if it was like mitigation or suppression, which are the different, like, one is obviously more extreme, the other is like more just the social distancing that people can practice, and what would happen. And they basically said, even with suppression or like the complete isolation and stuff, there's still not enough ventilators for all the people. We're not going to be able to stabilize that curve, but it's the closest we can get. But what will happen is, after about 2 months of that, we'll start to see effects and it'll be like things will be okay. Then there'll be a month where you can go back to kind of doing your normal job, going about your normal business as we all would have. Bars and restaurants can reopen. Then after that month, it'll re-emerge and it'll be another 2 months in isolation, and it'll be like that, 2 months in isolation, 1 month off, 2 months in isolation, 1 month off, until they can find a vaccine, because that's basically the only way that we can really deal with it, unless you were just to leave everyone to die, which obviously people don't want to let happen, because it'll be 18 months because they'll develop a vaccine. And then it'll need a lot of testing, and then for actually to be produced in order to be able to inoculate everyone, yeah, it'll be about 18 months. So this could, they say it's much more dire than anyone's expecting. Like, don't expect this to be over, this isolation to be over in a month or two. It's potentially 18 months.
Well, I, instead of reading that report, was watching Good Morning Britain on ITV. And what I noticed particularly was the amazing incongruity of the adverts. Unbelievable. They're advertising, for instance, Stannis stairlifts. So you've got the granddad reading a story in bed to the grandson, leaning over him, giving a little kiss and all that. And then it's a little girl, I think, and then she wants Teddy, so he goes down to get Teddy, you see. And you don't know that he needs a stairlift until you see him go down to get Teddy, and then he brings Teddy up in the stairlift and all that, and more sort of kissing. And I thought, really? Is anybody thinking about Stannis stairlifts? Is anybody thinking about getting cheap flowers from Asda? Anybody's in Asda at the moment, they're looking for toilet rolls. But they're advertising the fact. I mean, I assume it's contractual obligation, but all the ads, like Veruca's, they're advertising, you know...
It's
not Bazooki or Veruca, it's another Veruca firm. We don't want to give somebody else free advertising. But they're advertising Veruca cures. They're advertising... They use that great old song, Saplan Pour Moi by Plastic Bertrand. And they're advertising Rice Krispies and cornflakes, and she's sort of leaning up and listening to the Rice Krispies, and I thought, it all seems so irrelevant, as everything does. I looked through the papers the other day, so there's the first 12 pages are about coronavirus, and then you look at the rest of the news...
And you think, there's no point in me reading this.
Well, exactly. I think,
yeah, why?
Is there one piece of news there I could give a flip about? I mean, to be honest, just none of it. They're not filling in, the government isn't filling in the potholes at the rate that's expected. So Cycling UK have complained about the rate at which potholes are not being filled and everything. Who gives one? I mean, seriously.
I guess, like, you do have to kind of decide that you're going to care about some other stuff, because...
Yeah, it's difficult though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I find it absolutely all-consuming, all the time. You know, even when I'm, like, watching TV or something, I'm scrolling through stuff about coronavirus all the time. But how do you not?
Do you think there's a sense in which young people like yourself, and I'm not including you in this, but I'm talking about the mass of young people, see this in any way as... punishment for the older generation, just maybe subconsciously?
I don't think so. I think that's almost actually unreasonable to even suggest.
I did see one on, well, you say that, but I did see something on Twitter that said it was, and I realise Twitter's not.
And also, I think you can make a joke being like, oh, serves the boomers right, not for changing the climate, however.
Yes.
But as a joke, as an ironic, as a piece of sarcasm.
I hadn't mentioned that joke, but you.
Well, I've seen the joke.
Yeah. And the other one is that it's a payback for Brexit.
Yeah, I've seen the joke, but come on. Like, no one actually believes that. Or if you do, you're just in... And I do not want all of the younger generation to be tarnished with that brush.
No, I'm not tarnishing anybody. I'm just asking if you think there's, you know, even subconsciously...
I think there's no subconscious truth in that.
Because it does... I'll tell you what it seems to me, is that I've read the letters page in The Times, which... is largely, you're looking at, you know, it's old school, the letters page in the Times, and it's largely people round about 70 who are writing letters to the Times saying, look, I'm as fit as a flea and I'm blah, blah, blah. You know the argument, and that coronavirus doesn't know that you're 70 and you're not 67, for instance. Therefore, it seems, you know, these are people of my age who are complaining that young people are very, very keen on the draconian measures that older people are put under. You know,
yeah, I think we're keen on it because we don't want older people to die. Surely that's the exact opposite.
No, I think it's more because you don't want older people, because we're supposed to be the at-risk group. You don't want older people to infect you, which, I mean...
No, that doesn't make any sense. We don't care about being infected. The likelihood is that we'll be fine. That doesn't make any sense. We're keen on draconian measures because if not, the NHS will be massively overwhelmed because we're not the people who are going to be taking up beds. It is, and I know there's not. It's not like once you get to 70, that's when you'll need a ventilator. But you have to make the cut-off point at some age. If people said 75, there'd be 74-year-olds and 76-year-olds saying, what, we're the same? But you've got to make the age cut-off at some point. I think the idea that... I think that is a massively dangerous thing to be thinking in this, like, worrying, scared time, is to further separate and isolate yourselves by generation.
So, during the current crisis, we're going to be all confined, three of us. I know you're giving French lessons.
Well, I'm trying to give French lessons. No one wants one. I've said free French lessons, and no one wants one.
Did you put free? I don't think you put free.
No, but I put free in the underneath bit of the thread.
Let's hope that, as a result of this podcast, how are you going to do this, these free French lessons?
I don't know.
Lessons?
I've said I don't know.
Be online, though. Obviously.
Yeah, there's a thing called online. Zoom, which I've heard a lot of people talking about, which is what they think that a lot of the university seminars and stuff is going to be run on, so maybe that.
So, tell me what's been going on. You're back from university. We're now all cloistered together. God knows how that's going to turn out. But
here dreading we are. It.
So what's going to happen?
Well, I'm done for the year, basically, until hopefully September when we get to go back. But even that, I think, is a bit up in the air. But they've told us that we're not. They might be moving to online classes and stuff, but I don't really know how that would work anyway, considering I have like lots of seminars, not lectures. And then they've said that the first year examinations are cancelled, so I don't have to do exams, which I guess is a silver lining, but I think I would prefer to do the exams and go back, really. So I've got a lot of free time on my hands.
You certainly have. So what are you going to do with your free time?
Well, I've said that I'll do French lessons with people. I did a tweet that said, I'll teach you French if you want, for free. And no one wants a French lesson from me, does.
I know, but you did say...
I did have some comments about it being a pseudonym for prostitution. But yeah, apart from that, I've not had great interest in the old French lessons.
No, you didn't stress the freeness of it.
The freeness. Well, maybe I'll stress the freeness of it today.
And this is just to fill your time, basically.
Yeah, and so I keep practicing.
Yeah, and presumably you'll be reading or
reading, doing.
What are you?
I've got to revise and stuff anyway. Do bits of work, revision. I don't know what else. Films, TV, books.
Yeah,
they've taken all the fun stuff out.
I know, it's shocking.
I don't like it. The idea that this could be 6 months is...
Well, if it works the way you said it would work in the Imperial... Or not you particularly, but Imperial College.
Me. me, the chief epidemiologist, yeah.
if it works the way you said it's going to work, it means that there's a couple of months, and then there's a month when it's back to normal. Is that more or less it?
Yeah, I don't think back to normal, though, just back to work. I don't think large gatherings will be back. I don't think clubs will be open.
And what about uni? So if 2 months and we get over it, and then that means it's like sort of May or June, and then a month when it's back to normal, by the time you're back, you should be back at uni, we'll be in it again.
Will we be in a normal month? Or I don't know.
It depends how it works. It depends if they're right. They might not be. They might not be right. I wondered if you'd be reading Albert Camus' book, The Plague.
You know what? I think that is not the book that you would want to read in this.
Well, it's...
time. I've only ever read L'Étranger, so maybe.
Apparently this review I read, The Plague's supposed to be the greatest book ever written about a pandemic. The plague, it's called La Peste, as you probably know. It won't cure coronavirus, but it may help us to see it more clearly. Do you want to know what it's all about?
Well, I assume the plague.
Well, it's 1947, and it's an Algerian town swept by the bubonic plague, quarantined from the rest of the world, struggling to cope as this mysterious illness, incurable and implacable, strikes down one innocent person after another. And apparently it's loosely based on something that happened, a cholera epidemic. Because there have been quite a few cholera. There's a book called something, Love in the Time of Cholera.
Love in the Time of Cholera. Yeah. I imagine there's going to be many, many, the article called Love in the Time of Coronavirus.
In the Time of Coronavirus has now become a bit of a cliche in newspaper articles, rather like Reader, I Married Him, and that other Jane Austen quote.
I Married Him?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what she says? A woman, a man in possession of a great fortune must be in want of a wife.
Yeah, that's the plague done, basically. And TV-wise and film-wise?
I've not started anything yet. I watched a crappy film on Amazon last night, The Aeronauts.
Wouldn't recommend.
It wasn't very bad. It was bad, though.
Well, I noticed you're watching it on your phone most of the time.
Yeah, because it was not gripping.
Not gripping.
No, wasn't great. Race Across the World, I've been watching. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, a little bit bittersweet watching everything with a great travelling element.
I know.
Because I also found out that I've got accepted to this scholarship programme
for the summer.
Basically, I don't think it particularly got accepted because I don't think that many people applied. But regardless, I got... So you get like a grant of £500 and you get to go... for me, it'd be Spain, to go, go to lessons in the morning or whatever. And then they sent an email saying, oh, your application's been approved. Start thinking about where you're making plans for the summer or whatever. Salamanca, I thought. And then the second paragraph was just like, obviously in this time of uncertainty, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, right, okay, well.
That's not going to happen then.
Unless... I don't know what
happens.
It's
such a shame all these things are going to happen. There's that. There's the Eurovision Song Contest. There's the British Podcast Awards. They're all sort of vital events that aren't going to happen.
Feels really unfair. Like, I know it's obviously bad for everyone, but when you're like 19, 20, 21, the best years of your life that everyone says, and you only go to university for 3 years.
4 years in your case.
Yeah, but for one of them, I'll be abroad. And they're potentially saying that if this could be 18 months, that's like...
I know.
A year and a half of, your prime.
I know. It is really...
I'm not looking forward to celebrating a birthday in isolation.
It's horrible. And, I mean, there's Mother's Day on Sunday. Mm. No family gatherings.
Mm-mm.
So we were all going to meet at our place, weren't we?
Sorry, I had a hiccup.
Your sister Anna was going to make some food?
Yeah, but no more. Will happen no more.
But Asda is still advertising flowers on the TV.
Well, you can drop some flowers outside and then you've just got to knock on the door and run.
I know. It's absolutely shocking.
It's really sad.
It's very sad. And I'm not going to get down to London to do my show, but... Hopefully I might be able to get to do it with a bit of technology at home. But
yeah, I think it'll look really... it'll feel really much more apocalyptic once everyone stops going to work and school, because some work offices are still open for now, but I think all schools will be shut by the end of the week.
It's shocking.
Has anything ever been like this before?
No. See, the Second World War, you had a common enemy that you could, you could make jokes about the Germans, and they did. Light entertainment carried on during the Second World War, and you had this program called ITMAR, which I'm not old enough to remember these things during the Second World War, but I've heard tapes that afterwards, it did take the mickey out of Hitler a lot.
Mm.
There was Charlie Chaplin's film The Great Dictator, where he played Hitler in that. To Be or Not to Be, another film which took the... So you had a common enemy that you could all hate.
Mm.
You know, we're all in it together now, which in a way makes it more difficult in that, you know, we're all suffering.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, I've heard a lot of older people, or like at least there's been articles and stuff where they've said, you know, like, we made it through the Blitz, we can make it through
this,
and it's a different thing.
It's a different thing entirely.
I also think it adds to that, like, we've talked a lot about that for young people, for people about my age, who have lived pretty much their entire adolescence in this era of kind of overwhelming anxiety over the environment, over over all these jobs that we used to have that are just not there anymore, and all that kind of thing. Just being this... We are this anxious generation, and then this is yet another thing where there's no enemy. There's, you know, there's no enemy for the losses of, like, manual labour jobs. There's no real enemy there. Yeah, you can say, like, Margaret Thatcher or whatever, but unfortunately, they're just, those jobs don't exist anymore. The environment, there's no real enemy. It's all of us. It's a changing climate. Like, there's no enemy there. There's no enemy with coronavirus. I think that makes you feel even more helpless. You know, there's no one.
Yeah.
There's no baddie.
I know, and that's why all these wartime analogies are completely wrong. You know, whenever he says we got through the Blitz and all that, it's nonsense. Interesting enough, you mentioned the anxious generation.
Look at this. God, they should give me a column.
And I have an article here called The Anxious Generation.
Mm.
And it's basically, I suppose, about bringing up kids. Obviously, kids younger than you. They're worried about everything from coronavirus to exams and the future of the planet. And this sort of asks, what can parents do? How it's basically one of these things, how do you talk to your child about coronavirus?
Mm.
And I'm wondering how you do. If you know, obviously, you're old enough to make your own mind up, and so are all our other kids. But
if you've got kids here about 11, like about 8 to 12, that age where they don't know enough to be like making up their own mind, but they know enough to be like aware that something's happening.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
How would you do it? I'll see.
I guess making them aware that it's happening, taking their mind off it. Well, keeping life going as normal as it can be.
Do you want to know what Dr. Angarad Rutkin, who's a clinical psychologist at the University of Southampton, says?
No, I'm okay.
He says, you have to meet emotion with logic, as reacting to someone's high emotion with even more emotion is going to make everything feel more overwhelming. He says, stay factual, stay calm, don't make promises and don't dwell. It's difficult to do, isn't it?
I don't understand how you meant to meet this with logic, because...
We don't know.
We don't know anything, you know?
See, but you could promise them.
And the logic is that it's absolutely dire. That's the scientific stuff. But I wouldn't want to tell a kid that it could be 18 months, but that is the science.
Mm.
So I don't know what... I think keeping your mind fit. How about sending them for some... What, say if you've got an 8 to 14-year-old child, what about sending them for some free French lessons on Skype?
That could do it, couldn't it?
I think I would try and keep their mind off it. I definitely would not recommend they read La Peste.
No, not La Peste, or indeed the Imperial College London report. Do you know what? I think it's time we talked about Kylie Jenner.
Good, at last.
Kylie Jenner.
I did see someone saying, it was Kim Kardashian, she tweeted a picture and then it just said, like, sending love to everyone out there. And someone had retweeted it with comment being like, oh, that's great, thanks, but could you send some of your money?
Well, that's a good point, and that's a point that somebody made on TV this morning, was that actually if you have a load of money...
This could be a great time to... give some of it away?
Give some of it away with free French lessons. But no, if you do have a load of money, you may be able to get access to a ventilator where you wouldn't if you didn't have loads of money. And you may be able to get tested because people aren't being
Idris
tested.
Elba.
Idris
got tested without any symptoms, which is a scandal, really.
It's a scandal, really.
Did you see that, just speaking of money, Guinness have pledged £1 million to bartenders or bars or something?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, well, I think companies are looking at it as a possible PR thing. McDonald's are giving free coffee to health workers, and I think Pret
are doing the same. Free hot drinks and 50% off food. Well, yeah. 50% off everything else.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, in other words, Pret will bring their prices down to normal
prices.
Normal,
yeah.
Normal levels. Brilliant. Well, let me tell you about Kylie.
They'll all be closed soon, though, won't they?
Yeah, well, I would think so, yeah. Well,
other takeaway and stuff.
Yeah, possibly. Kylie Jenner, anyway, she's revealed on Instagram, obviously, that she's named her toes. Did you see that story?
I didn't, actually. I don't follow her. I try not to follow celebrities on Instagram.
Well, she's named all her toes. Tess, Teague, Tia, Trix, Toby, Tony, Tani, Tasha, Talia and Tina.
See, it's a time of polar opposites we live in. You know, on the one hand, in the midst of an unprecedented global pandemic, there's scientists speaking of the dire consequences. On the other hand, we know all 10 names of Kylie Jenner's toes.
Well, I'll be testing you on those later. The two male toes, this is interesting.
Big toes of the male ones,
the big toes, Toby and Tony, and then there's all the others, little toes. Also, this is Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, all part of the same family. There's a story here, and Kathleen Moran picked it out in her showbiz thing.
Such a good column.
It's an excellent column. She says that the magazine Closer has an in-depth look at the life of Northwest. Northwest, as you know.
The child, the small, small child.
She's the child of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, who at 6 years old is forging a career, apparently. As says Kathleen Moran, is totally correct. The children of the unfathomably wealthy should always be put to work in the public eye before they can ride a bicycle, or else what will they have to discuss with a therapist when they reach the age of 10? And while attending the Paris Fashion Week last week, she appeared in a variety of outfits, and her clothes budget is $250,000, I'm told.
Wow. Paris Fashion Week, that'll be no more of that.
No more of anything.
Sorry, I know that we're back on coronavirus, but you just read any of these things and you just think, well, we won't be doing that ever again. Well, for the time being.
For the time being, yeah. Should we have some music?
Let's have some music.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
As it's all about families at the moment, I thought it was high time we played Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone.
High time.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be.
I suspect you've heard that. It's been sampled.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of recognise it, but not really.
Yeah. Like it?
Well, yeah.
It's hard to judge
like
on
it.
20 seconds.
Yeah, I need to listen to the whole thing, I'm sure.
You do, it's good. Sly and the Family Stone, American band from San Francisco, active from 1966 to 1983. And they were sort of a bridge between 60s soul and then later R&B stuff. Led by singer-songwriter, producer and multi-instrumentalist Sly Stone, including Stone's brother and singer-guitarist, that was Freddie Stone, and his sister as well, and she was a keyboardist and singer, Rose Stone. First, a major American rock group to have a racially integrated male and female lineup. There were one or two in the UK that did as well.
Cool. And I've got a song called PDA by Emily Burns. I wanna scream, I wanna scream.
What is PDA, first of all?
No, you must know.
No idea.
Public display of affection. You've never heard that before?
No.
I kind of picked it on the off chance that you hadn't heard of it, because she's got a lot of other songs that I like. I played some in the car this morning. But I kind of went...
That's interesting.
For this, because I thought maybe you weren't there, but I assumed you would.
Well,
really.
It's because everybody was. You're always, you and your siblings, they're always using these initials, and I have no idea what they are. Somebody put WFH this week.
That's.
Morning.
WFH, yeah, people do use work from home. Work but from only home. Of this recent
it's
corona world.
That's a new one. Yeah.
That is a new one. But mum using WFW because she's still at work from work, that is, no one has ever said that before.
Oh, that's good. WFH, I thought was a Wakefield postcode. But there are all sorts of them. I mean, I'm now on board with things like WTF and OFC.
Oh, well, that's just off course. Yeah, that's not really a...
No, but it's a little abbreviation. But there's lots of PDA, Public Display of Affection.
Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, that is her song from the album. It's not from an album, actually. It's just a single, I think. She's quite new and stuff. Thursday of last week, I went to a gig, Gabrielle Aplin, and she was the warm-up act, and I actually really, really enjoyed it, so I thought I'd play her. And also, this will be my, you know, it's my, the last gig that I'll go to for quite a while, so I thought, what a fun one to end on.
Yeah.
And
did you say, is she British or American?
She's British. She's from Rugby in Warwickshire.
Yeah.
And she was born in 1994.
Ridiculous.
But which doesn't even make her that young. She's probably 26. 25, 26.
Yeah.
And she was going on tour in April for her first ever UK tour.
Impossible.
Sucks
yes.
for her.
It's shocking. It's...
But anyway, yeah, she was really, really brilliant. And I also, her most famous song, which has got like a lot of listens, called Is It Just Me, which you said in the car that you actually enjoyed more than this one, is maybe more of that classic pop acoustic-y sound. So if you fancy listening to another one of her songs, listen to that. And if you want to listen to the rest of this song or the rest of your song, then go over to the Spotify playlist. If you type in Ruth, Martin and Ruth, Ruthie, me and my dad, Ruthie, uni, dad and me, any of those things, you'll find the Spotify playlist. And I'm hoping that we'll get more listens on it, considering everyone's bored out their minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to tell you, this is the 94th podcast that we've done together.
Wow.
Which means it's amazing. We're still talking after 94 podcasts. But if you want to kill, well, about 94 times 45 minutes, what would that make it? If you want to kill about 86 hours or something of your life, you can listen to the whole lot of them, because they're all archived on
Once again, hoping that our listens will peak, because...
You'd like to think so. If you want to email us, by the way, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. That's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. We've got quite a few this week.
Good.
PD says, hi both, listening to the latest podcast. Great to hear the great Our Town by Iris DeMent, which we both enjoyed last week. Might be worth checking out the version by Barnsley songstress Kate Rusby.
I did actually read this email and I thought, Kate Rusby, one of my faves, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen her live. Twice, maybe, even.
Yeah, because you went to that folk...
I went to a folk festival, which I saw at, and then I think I've seen her at Hyde Park or something. I think I've seen her twice. But yeah, I really like Kate Rusby, but I didn't know she did the cover of that, so I will actually give that a listen.
Indeed.
I will actually do that, unlike...
Well, normally when you say you're going to do it, but don't, Anne B says, I loved your podcast this week. Relevant to me is my daughter is at uni studying languages too. It's witty, relevant... And Ruthie is very talented.
Oh, thank you.
And has inherited her dad's wit. Yeah, you see, you're not happy about that, are you? So anyway, thank you very much to Anne Barden, who's from Reith in North Yorkshire. Johnny, who describes himself as a fellow dad, says, dear Martin and Ruth, I thought you might be interested in how your listeners first become acquainted with your podcast. I more than Ruth, because he says he woke up in the middle of the night to tune into the Tyson Fury fight on Talk Sport. He said, whilst awaiting the seemingly endless time for the two protagonists to enter the ring, I tuned next door to Talk Radio and became enamoured with the dialogue you were having with your daughter Ruth. So he just picks up on a little clip, snips I play on Talk Radio. This led me to the podcast. I now listen to your current weekly episodes, and in conjunction with the back catalogue, I'm now up to podcast 19.
Wow.
And progressing to another 80. Odd to listen to there. The insightful banter.
Insightful.
Banter. is unvaried content. Terrific. Thank you both. So he said, I'd gladly listen to it live to your weekend talk radio graveyard slot, but draw the line at having to relocate to the Philippines in order to listen to it at a more convenient time. That's Johnny, a fellow dad. So thank you very much indeed for the emails. We love getting them, don't we?
Yeah, thank you very much.
The more they do,
the less we do.
So it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. I know it's going to be awfully difficult for you to find anything that's not coronavirus related, but do you have
anything
else?
I did see one interesting thing. Essay mills. Have you heard of essay mill?
Yes, I have. They write your essay for you at university.
They're a public safety issue, the watchdog warns. Who is the watchdog?
Well, it'll be some sort of
higher education watchdog.
Yeah, higher education watchdog.
Yeah. Anyway, it's higher education watchdog says cheating on essays is now so widespread it is a public health and safety issue. So there you go. We're all cheating on them.
Well, yeah, that's been a story for some time, and I think they've tried to.
They've brought in new legislation
just
recently.
Yeah, they do that, don't they? And because they're now using the same technology that the exam mill, and that's not the only one. There are quite a few of those that offer to do all your work for you.
Tempting.
It is tempting, isn't it? But you've got plenty of time to do all your work now.
I don't know whether I've got any work.
I know, that's the thing.
They sent an email saying that they'll. They're meeting with the department. The department rep is meeting with the department on Thursday to get like more instructions. And I had one assessment set for me to do for like the first week back, so I've still got that to do. But my exams have been cancelled, and my other ones that are like not exams, they're like open assessments more, are speaking. So there's not really anywhere for me to do that remotely, I don't think. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, there may be. I mean, if
you can do like Skype or whatever.
Yes. I mean, if I can get to do
But just to do it with such a vast number of people, it may be not going to work. But who knows? I don't know. I'm an hour between this is brilliant, I don't have to do anything, and oh my God, someone
I think you're more
set
in,
me a task.
I know. I think you're more in that.
And slightly,
phase, aren't you? Because the thing is, you can't go to clubs with your friends and pubs and all that sort of stuff. I think the pubs are staying open. You could go to pubs.
They're staying open for now, but he should close them.
Yeah.
Well, so they can claim insurance.
Yeah, there is that.
I think people will stop going to them soon. Did you see that Wakefield are holding a coronavirus-themed club night?
No,
because people are stupid.
Oh, good. Let's hear about that.
I will. I've got the screenshot of it, Dad. So I will tell you. It is at Brickworks Wakefield, which I don't know whether you know that club. Do you know where After Dark is?
No.
Do you know where Nocturno is?
No.
Do you know where the Theatre Royal is?
I know where the Theatre Royal is.
Okay, so it's across the street and just down from there. But anyway, it doesn't really matter.
I know where the Brickworks. It's an old Brickworks.
Yeah. So it's the club is now called Brickworks.
Right.
And it's gas mass party Saturday 21st of March at 11 p.m. till 4 a.m. This is the details. We have loo roll and sanitizer, and anyone wearing a gas mask or face mask gets in for free. Limited gas masks available behind the bar. Corona 2-for-1 until 1 a.m.
Well, you've got to applaud the entrepreneurial spirit, haven't you?
Clubs are still open, but I would not be going to a club now. Not all.
No, but I mean, if, in a way, I suppose, because you went to lots and lots of clubs in that last week at university.
Before
it was highly publicised, but one assumes it was around because it was around,
but like
in Italy,
you just didn't think
you could go.
Well, no one had said, and also no one had said so. Like no one had said like don't go or whatever.
Mm.
And once they'd said that, I wouldn't have gone. Like we were talking about going out on the Saturday night, and we didn't because it was like we'd been told now, you know. Yeah. I just think once someone has actually told you to do it, then you should not.
You're probably right, but you were quite bereft at coming home. I mean,
I wasn't. I was coming home anyway, but I am upset about not being able to go back. Because the first year of uni is like brilliant. I mean, it's not for everyone. I know some people have a really tough time and don't like it. But for the people who do enjoy it, it is a great year. You've got minimal amounts of work to do. You're living on campus, which means you can roll out of your bed 5 minutes before your lesson. It's a great year. I wanted to, you know, go abroad in the summer, and there was a thing called Roses. I was going to go down to Lancaster to stay with my friend to watch Roses, which is the big Lancaster Uni versus York Uni sports competition, which has obviously been cancelled. You know, there's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of small things that don't really matter, and I would much rather self-isolate and keep and social distance and keep people safe and stuff. But it is still annoying.
I think it's worse for young people like you who are just missing, you know, the point that you made about like best years of your life and that, just missing out on opportunities. And I'm thinking of first, you know, then for people like, you know, if I die, I die. If other people do, well, you know, and I've said this to you in the past, I think that every generation there's a sort of cull, if you like, whether it's a war or something else. And you know, we've sort of had our life to an extent. Mm. I mean, it'd be nice to carry on living, but we've sort of had our life to an extent. Whereas for people, and it's worse for third year students,
I think it must be crap. Like, they've had their graduation cancelled. You go to uni for 3 years, and that third year is hard, and like, especially the third term, which they're now having to kind of do on their own. They won't even be getting a graduation. Like, it also, it feels selfish to be like, oh, it's so unfair, because obviously, like, people will die, and it's, you know, like many families will have these great tragedies. But there's a part of you that's just like, oh, just so unfair.
Well, it is. And there's things that, it's just that the sort of lightness has gone. See, in the war, the football leagues were suspended, so there were no football leagues. But what they used to do is they had matches between servicemen who were on leave and things.
Yeah.
So it'd be the Army versus the Navy and all that sort of thing. And people could gather. It was the togetherness that the fact that it's just going to be the three of us.
It's the camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
I've got told off by Dad for calling it camaraderie.
Yeah, the camaraderie.
That you do get from being together.
And the lightness has gone, you know.
Well, because I was saying, like,
not that I was alive during the Second World War, and it may have been much, much worse.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
It's romanticised.
Yeah, romanticised. Yeah. But still, like, there is, you know, and, like, for grandma and granddad and stuff, I really won't get to go see them until I've had it.
And that is they're in their 80s, your gran and your granddad. And so we can't go around there.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, none of us really, can we?
No.
Now. So they can go out for walks.
They can go out for walks together and
go down to the supermarket.
For now.
Yeah.
But
it's just.
It is grim.
We can make jokes about it as much as we want, but
it is grim.
It is.
It's really grim.
I honestly think
about it and I'm like, I've only been home for 2 days. What the hell? Yeah. I think you've got to try and get into some kind of routine or whatever.
Well, we're not short of advice coming from the newspapers as to how to do it and routine. Somebody suggests
getting dressed.
If you're dressed, that's important. Put your work clothes on and all that sort of stuff.
Or at least get dressed. Like, I don't really wear work clothes, but get dressed. That is important, I think. Because if not, you lollop around the house. You can still go on walks.
I know.
This would be a great time to live in the countryside.
Yes, I suppose it would. Because
so that you could go on big countryside walks and stuff.
Yeah, because if you're living in the
town.
I
can't remember the exact fact, but National Trust have made gardens and something free entry. Yeah. I can't remember
but
exactly
even
what
so,
it is.
It's a case of driving to these places and going to petrol stations and all the things that they probably don't want you to do, do they? If they're saying you isolate, they're saying isolate.
Realistically, you should be, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if there's someone who's... So I've got a friend who lives with... they have a lodger in their house who's also like a friend and stuff, who is really highly at risk. Like, if he gets it, it's really, really dire. So they have to, like, fully isolate themselves.
Is he ill? He's got some...
Underlying health conditions. I can't quite remember what they are, but really bad if he was to get it. So they've got to, like, completely isolate, like, order their shopping online, isolate.
However you look at it, you know, logically, as it's a cull, and the fact it's... older people dying, which, if you want to be logical about it, is not as bad as younger people. You know, it's disproportionate.
Yeah, I'm sure grandma and granddad would say that they would prefer to die than have me and Anna die or something, but it's not.
It's just, but within each family where an old person dies, it's going to be, and I'm...
Tragic.
It's a personal tragedy, isn't it, for those for those people? And we've sort of got death.
Again, Stalin says it right. When one dies, it's a tragedy. When thousands die, it's a statistic.
Is that what Stalin said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to look on 200,000 people die and think, oh, that's that, you know, what, seven?
Well, we do. And
how many million people live in the UK? Like
60
million live in the UK-ish, roundabouts. Yeah, 200,000. But thinking, oh, my grandma, that is.
Yeah.
Awful. Well,
and everybody's having to come to terms with that. So, do you have anything
cheery? Anything cheery? my other thing, you were just saying how there's lots of advice for dealing with the self-isolation or whatever, but my personal favourite title of an article came from The Tab. The Tab is the uni all of the uni newspapers. They have the tab for each individual university, but this is just the overall uni one. And it says, how to make your uni room look peng for your online seminars, even when it's not. And then there's the picture of a girl on a laptop and her friend, like, holding a light for the right lighting on her face. I just thought it was perhaps the most brilliant thing. And then the advice is even better.
How to make your room look peng.
Your uni room look peng for your online seminars, even when it's not. That's the thing. So this is the intro. It's all brilliant. I would highly suggest reading any of these tab articles that are how to deal
university,
with the self-isolation. Yeah. Coronavirus has forced us back into our disgusting uni rooms, and now online teaching means all your classmates will be able to see your grim ways in the cold, hard light of day. So it's time to add some fairy lights and make it look cute. And then you read on, and then these are like the headlines of what to do. Get rid of empty alcohol bottles. Find your best lighting. All about those angles. Get those all-important revision notes up on the wall. Dress nice from the top up, and then it's got a picture of two girls who are wearing, like, nice T-shirts and then, like, pyjama bottoms. Empty the bin full of snacks. Clean one side of the room. And finally, get basic and show off your fairy lights. And that is the advice it gives.
Brilliant.
So there you go. Don't worry about washing your hands. Just make sure you get rid of the empty alcohol bottles.
Brilliant, Ruth. Best yet. Anything else? Is that?
There's a lot of other amusing things. It's a lot of coronavirus related amusing things, but amusing nonetheless. I've got a your crush for you, which is funny. RH, we've wanted to for a while. Now coronavirus is upon us. We might as well get it on. And then this is the best your fest that's come out of this year, I think. So someone has said, let me show you the picture. Obviously not everyone can look at the picture because podcast, but it is, and you can't. This is the picture.
Right. Yeah.
It's a picture of a boy wearing just underpants on a video call, and it says, shout out to my housemate who, to demonstrate how quiet the library is mid-pandemic, video called us, got naked, and stood in the middle of Fairhurst Library.
So he's standing in the middle of the library. Unbelievable.
Naked.
Unbelievable.
So that's how quiet it is everywhere. So, if you've ever dreamed of standing in the middle of a library naked, now's the time.
Now's the time for a lot of things, isn't it? We'll probably do it next week, because we won't be able to come out to the studio and do it. So we may try and do it on my phone with this sort of microphone device that we have. But it might be a slightly shorter one next week.
Shorter, lower quality.
It'll be shorter, lower quality. This is something to look forward to.
Here you go.
I've never known anything trailed as it'll be shorter, lower quality, lacking any points of interest and probably lacking any humour. So don't forget to tune in
I just can't think, if this goes on for 18 months and we have to churn one out every week. So what did you do today? Well, I got up, I stared at a blank wall for a couple of hours.
Yeah, went back.
I ate some raw pasta because the electrics have gone off and we've run out of food.
Mm.
I wiped my bottom with a piece of paper.
Yeah, right. Let's not go too far. You know, you were saying it'd be fun to live in the country. You've got a nice big countryside walk. If it does get as bad as Imperial College think, and we are all confined in the towns, like these pictures we've seen of Italy, really, the ghost town, it'd be more fun, I would say, to walk about town and pretend you're in some dystopian movie. You can make
Let's hope it stays as pretend you're in a dystopian movie.
Yeah, well, that's indeed.
But I'm sure it's not as dire as everyone thinks. There's lots of reasons to be hopeful, I'm sure.
Well, let's hope we find them. If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
That's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.